and now to bring us up to date and to give us a better understanding of the needs of the work here in Canada, and to bring us this offertory message, Mr. Rainer Saloma.
Good afternoon, everyone. Looks like we have a whole lot more here than yesterday evening. It was a bit of a challenge to get in and out with the hockey game on. I heard that the local Kelowna team lost 3-0, so there was a few disgruntled fans, I think, navigating the streets last night. Really nice to have the Hoosiers move into the area. They had a sure-tail shoot to get here. They just basically got moved, and they're here attending the feast with us, trying to get settled in the Cedro-Woolley area. I'd like to, in this offertory, just basically give you a little bit of history of UCG Canada. The reason for that is that we have a fair number of visitors. We have some here who are new here for perhaps the first time. One gentleman on a Feast of Trumpets asked me the same question, so how did you begin? So I thought I would just use the offertory to give you a thumbnail sketch of UCG Canada and talk a little bit about our needs and how the offering will certainly help fulfill some of those needs. It's a topic that's a favorite of mine. I really enjoy talking about God's work, God's church. It's been my life since I was a teenager, actually since I was about grade 9. Being called into the Church of God back in the early 60s. But basically, you'd have to go back to Indianapolis, and we have some ministers here that were key individuals involved in Indianapolis in 1995, including Mr. Luker, Don Hoosier. I remember reading some of his articles, Don Hoosier's articles, even in the journal back then. And there was a lot of flux going on when we had about 150 elders disfellowshipped. And the meeting that took place in Indianapolis, and basically the beginnings of UCGIA on Pentecost of 1995. But the impact on Canada reached us for the Feast of Tabernacles in 1995 in Whistler, where David Prebig at that time was the coordinator out of Spokane. And that was the only Western site for UCGIA. And there were about 2,000 there. If you were there, you can remember the rain. It rained almost constantly, quite a bit of fog. But it was a time for cocooning and healing and a time for a lot of fellowship and a lot of sharing. And all reports said it was a very positive feast. And the Holy Day offerings there helped even kick off UCG Canada. Just shortly after that, Mr. Barrett and I became instrumental also in UCG Canada. We went to Cincinnati for the first GCE. We went there in December of 1995. And then the Canadian ministers that were there, Lauren Davies is one of them also, we got together in a restaurant along with Gary Antion and planned our organizational meeting. We set a time and date for Calgary for January of 1996. And I remember vividly listening to Rick Barrett with the opening prayer. My wife and I drove through Edmonton from Prince George, and they were just getting started as a congregation in Edmonton. I think they're maybe second meeting or so. And they asked me to give the message on the Sabbath, which I did, and the message was entitled, Where Do We Go From Here? And then my wife and I went to Calgary, and we joined those that were there, including some legal representation from IA, and we basically formed the Canadian National Council at that time, bitterly cold, about 40 below zero. We met for several days, and we had all the Canadian ministers at that time, a handful, plus some lay members. We formed a national council, 9 members, and Gary Antion became the operations manager for the work in Canada, and Tony Wozlikoff was our first chairman. And then Gary Antion fulfilled that role until 1999 when he was transferred to ABC to look after ABC in Cincinnati. And Tony Wazakoff replaced Gary Antion. He's in Toronto now looking after the national office. And then I took his place as far as the chairman of the National Council, and I've been doing that since 1999. Actually, the original members of that council are just Robert Barrett and myself. We've had a fair number of turnover over the years. We have some former members of the National Council here. Rick Dubler is one of them, Dr. Rick Dubler visiting from Ontario, Dr. Dan Barrett, and also Lauren Davies. They have served at times on a council. But I look back over about 9 years now of what has been accomplished, and there's been a great deal, I think. A hurdle was to register with the Canadian government as far as a charity, which we did the paperwork, and that was accomplished. We adopted our constitution the same as IA's and also the rules of association, but it was a tedious process Canadianizing the bylaws. And we tried to make them as similar to IA's as possible and yet fulfill the legal requirements here in Canada. And we still fine-tune them through amendments, but they are working documents that are the basis for our governance, and which are legal requirements. And we strive to the best of our ability to adhere to them. We have gone through the licensing process for various governments so our ministers can perform weddings. And that was fast-tracked. And I can remember the very first wedding I did as a minister in United was for my daughter. Right here in Kelowna, and something I shared with a Catholic priest, which is kind of a unique wedding ceremony, but went very well. And afterwards, a Catholic priest got up and he said, "You know, I find nothing wrong with this wedding ceremony. In fact, he was impressed with the wording." We've had our national office in Toronto move a number of times because of space requirements and cost factors. We have been running festival sites across the country, this year St. John's, Newfoundland, where the Wazakoffs off for half the feast, and Collingwood, Ontario, Regina, Saskatchewan, and right here in Kelowna, and Mount St. Anne in Quebec. They had a fire earlier on this year, so that cause precipitated a move to Collingwood, Ontario. We got off to an early start with the internet, and we got our own church homepage, and for a while I was kind of over that also, and I turned it over to David Palmer recently. We have a lot of our own local websites. United News Canada, Gary Antion asked me to be the editor of that back in Cincinnati in 1999, and I've been doing that for about 9 years, which is our only in-house publication. We cybercast from various congregations. Some very capable people back there from Calgary, Edmonton. And as I said before, Kelowna is the first feast site for IA that began cybercasting. And I might mention for any of you who figure you might be missing something for children's classes or whatever, you can follow the links and all the messages will be archived, including the best video presentations, and you can review them at your leisure. And again, thank you to Dan Deininger and Alan Hurst for getting that started many years ago, it seems like right now. We have congregations and video groups across Canada, over 20 of them, and we've had growth in a number of credentialed elders. We have around 20 of them, could be a few more during this feast. We've run summer camps. This summer, Bob Barrett took a group of fellows up Ruby Mountain for a pretty rigorous hike, an outdoors experience. And we have had gradual and steady growth in both attendance and income. Every year it goes up, not dramatically, not to 30%, but gradually, slow, steady growth. We have around 700 across Canada meeting now, and our income is approximately $1 million, including the subsidy that we get from the United States. I asked Ed Van Pelt as far as circulation figures. He said, when he first started, our circulation for the good news was 50, Now it's about 14,000. We have run various advertising campaigns, including Reader's Digest, internet advertising, newspaper advertising, Open and Save, the booklet Real Jesus, we advertised on there. And right now we're running one in a health magazine called Alive for the second time. We have a ministerial conference coming up in Toronto this December, for Canada-wide. Invited Richard Pennelly to participate in that, and we're looking forward to it. The challenges are, basically, I would say one of the biggest challenges is still manpower, because we're, what, the second biggest country in the world. Distances are huge. We have five full-time elders, David Palmer, myself, Robert Barron, Tony Wozniakoff, and Graham Marshall. And then George Carter has been on half salary. And we could not do it without the help of the non-salaried elders. It would be totally impossible to do that. We have, we're losing Glenn White, who is transferring back to the United States. And Robert Barron has assumed that responsibility at this time to pastor also fill in the gap in the Calgary area. But we realize that we're aging in the ministry. As far as full-time elders, last time I calculated, the average age was about 64. That'd be Fred Keller's age. Young, eh? Pretty young looking. So the need is for some younger pastors, and on the ministerial services team, we're brainstorming, and we'll be discussing that even more at the ministerial conference. And the ball is starting to roll in that area to bring along some younger fellows. We're all stretched pretty thin. Most of us are doing a lot. I can speak for myself, I guess, but basically three churches plus a video group scattered from northern Alberta to southern British Columbia. If you drove from one end to the other, it'd be 14 hours of driving north to south. And then all the other things that a lot of us are involved with, including festivals and ministerial services team, publications and writing and so on. So it is certainly a challenge, but God has certainly been able to help us to fulfill it thus far. I don't want to. I had some scripture I was going to throw in, but I'll just say one scripture for the end. The reason I bring all of these out is that there's a lot being accomplished for a relatively small amount of money. We have the average NHL hockey player. They're in a lockout. Their average salary is $1.8 million. And we're trying to do a nationwide work on about half of the income of one hockey player. So maybe that puts things in a little bit of a perspective. And the income that does come in takes care of all the hall rentals, facilities like this, all the equipment that's necessary, the national office, the salaries of those who are full-time, including the office staff, the insurances, the running of the festivals, the council meetings, and all the expenses involved. But Canadian membership has been very generous, very consistent, and very steady in support of the work. But at this time, we still could not do it without getting a certain subsidy from the U.S., but we would like to be able to eventually wean off of it and be totally self-sufficient. So the Holy Day offerings are certainly a huge help in the budget preparation, and is very much appreciated. And we really appreciate all of you who come and who do leave something for the Canadian work. I'm going to just quote one scripture. It's from the book of Ecclesiastes. It's a book that is read at times during the feast, one of the festival scrolls, one of the books of the Megillot. Read during the feast. I'll just read one verse, Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 19. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 19. Solomon said, a feast is made for laughter. And I hope that we can laugh and hope we can have a good time. I hope that the spirit of God's joy will be amongst us. He said also, wine makes merry. And Mr. Keller's talked a little bit about, you know, the German liquid that he had, and the cheese in Wisconsin, and certainly it's a time to celebrate and a time to eat and drink before God in balance and moderation, obviously. But notice what he said at the end. He said, but money answers everything. Kind of a pragmatic answer. And certainly a lot of the problems we face, money certainly helps provide some of the answers. And we realize, again, the most important are spiritual, God's blessing, God's Holy Spirit. But again, we're physical, and we have to do physical things, and the manna of this world certainly helps. So in God's church, we've always enjoyed the simplicity and the beauty of giving to God as we are able. It's not complex. Tithing is simple. Offerings are between us and God, between the widow's mite or the bigger amounts as we are blessed. And you contrast that to worldly governments, worldly ways out there as far as collecting monies, especially to run governments. And it's so complex. I love the simplicity that is in God's Word. Just to share with you one, this is from Robert J. Samuelson, who is a famous economist. But he said, in the United States, it costs Americans about $100 billion or more to do the yearly taxes because the system is so complex. And that basically is an estimate by an economist. $100 billion a year costs Americans just to do their taxes every year because it's so complex. And they have made it political. But that's not the way giving is and donating to God is. It's between us and God, and it's very simple. So again, we appreciate your offerings to God's work, and we do it in three seasons of the year based on what it says in Deuteronomy. And the tradition of the church has always been to break it up into 7 annual holy days, to fall during those 3 seasons, something that goes back in our church history almost to the very beginnings. So we have an opportunity to do that this afternoon. And the business office just wants me to mention that to expedite the offerings, please ensure your name and address are on the envelope and you seal them. From those who are from outside of Canada, if you wish to have your offering returned to the home office, please write Home Office or USA clearly on the back of the envelope. We'll have those green envelopes on the last holy day. I think I forgot to bring them. They're where I'm staying right now. So I apologize for that. All offerings with no instructions to return to the home office will be processed for use in Canada, and the work is very appreciative of what is being left behind. And as the offering will be collected, we have offertory music performed by Jana and Michelle Komodros from Vancouver, British Columbia. And they will play a piece entitled Largo, written by G.F. Handel, from the opera Xerxes, the Persian king of the Bible, whose wife was Esther, and his right-hand man was Mordecai.